lovelies, welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host today. So, happy November. I don't think it wasn't November last time I recorded, right? No, I don't think it was. I'm really bad at dates. But anyway, happy November anyway. Even if I said it already, I'm just saying it again. Happy November. How are you doing? What are you doing? How is this month going for you so far? Did you have a good Halloween? Did you celebrate Halloween? I had a really good Halloween and a good Halloween week. Like, our celebrations pretty much seem to span out over a week this year. And I think it was because of having, like, different social things to go to. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really good. My brain is just blanking on words completely. But the first thing we did, we dressed up for Halloween, actually, on, I think it was like the 27th or something of October. And we went to a friend's house, and we went with them and two of their friends as well. And we went out, but that didn't really work. It didn't work out for a couple things, and it was really, really cold. So we ended up just coming back to their house and playing a game on the Switch instead. Is it the Switch? Yeah, the Nintendo Switch. That was so funny. I cried laughing. It was so funny. It was this game where you played as a team, but we could only get two controllers working that they had, so we ended up just playing like in twos. And it was this game where you had to, I don't even know how to describe it, and I don't remember what it's called, but it was really fun. You had to, like, work together to get across this, like, puzzle, and you had to, like, lift each other and help each other get this, like, coin and, like, take it to a certain point and stuff. And it sounds really easy, like, and when you're watching it, it's like, that looks easy, but, like, when you're trying to do it, you're, like, white-knuckling, like, holding the controller, trying to hold on. It took us, like, 10 minutes, probably maybe even more, to get through each level, just because it's like, if one of you falls, you have to start back at the beginning, and if you both fall off, you both have to start over. And oh my goodness, it was so funny. So we did that on one night and played that, and that was really fun. And then another night we went to that must have been earlier, because I think the 27th or the 28th was when we did our next thing, which was we went to a friend's house, Juliana, who works at the Four of Wands with me sometimes, and she did a Samhain dinner, and she had a bunch of her friends over, and we all celebrated together, and it was so cool, because I got to meet really, really cool, really interesting people that I had never met before, and it always not surprises me, but I'm just, like, pleasantly, you know, pleased, delighted to, like, meet all the cool people that live in and around Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas. It's just really cool. It's like, people come out of the woodwork and you're like, oh my god, where were you hiding? And so I got to meet some really cool, really interesting people there. And then on Halloween night, we went to, our friends Hannah and Ricky got married on Halloween, and we went out to dinner with them and ate sushi and hibachi, and I had never been to a hibachi grill before, so it was like, I was like, this is like a show, because the guy that we got was really, really good, and he was really funny, and I'd never been to one before, so I had no idea, like, what to expect, but I was just, like, enraptured the entire time. It took probably, like, at least half an hour. It felt like an hour, and I was just, like, amazed at it. It was so fun. And then we went back to our friend's house afterwards. And by that point, we were tired. Like, we just didn't want to go out. And like I said, it was really cold. So we ended up just hanging out with our friends. And I ended up doing readings for them and also doing a pet reading for them. And it was just, it ended up being, like, the perfect way to spend Halloween, you know? It's, like, the veil thinning, and and getting to do readings and connecting with spirit and bring through this information. And it was really cool. I got to do a guide reading as well. And we saw some really interesting things that we were able to like verify. And it was funny because in my head, I could only see it as a certain thing. And like their guide kept saying, oh, it's this thing. And I was saying, oh, it's this. And then they rang their mum and ended up asking her about this thing because we figured out what it was. And it just all came together and it was like, oh my goodness, you know, it's just one of those really cool things where you really see it being real. And you like see it being verified right then and there, which is really cool. So yeah, it was a busy week. I'm trying to think, what else has happened since then? Honestly, the start of November has been pretty quiet, which I've been grateful for. I've been kind of tired and feeling a little bit just, I don't know, I'm just tired. but yeah, you know, I think it seems to me, at least the way things happen generally for me, is like when I really just need to rest, things get quieter and slower. And then when my energy is up again, they get faster and, you know, things come in more, which I appreciate. It's like, I feel like the universe is looking out for me, looking after me. but today, I was trying to think what to talk about today. And I had a couple of different things kind of go through my mind, but I didn't really feel like any of them. So what I just wanted to talk about today is, I guess it's more of a chat, more of a kind of, maybe a little bit more meandering. I don't know, aren't I always meandering? but yeah, today I want to talk about spirit and spirit guides and what it's like in spirit and what it's like when I see things, and try and explain a little bit of, you know, what that world is like, and probably talk a little bit too about how spirit and working with spirit has helped me as a person. As a human, because it definitely has helped me a lot and changed how I think about things a lot too, I think for the good. So yeah, I want to talk about that. Before I get into that, let's do the quick thing, quick talk about things. All right, so first things first, the tarot class. So I've been talking about a tarot class for a while now, and originally we were going to have it in November, but then we decided that it was probably not the best time to coincide with holiday shopping and people being really busy for the holidays, and it was going to, yeah, just coincide with, like, the dates were going to be kind of funky and stuff, and so we decided to actually move it to January. So it's going to be starting in January now. Which honestly, that's great, because the more time I have, the more I can just prepare and come up with more like handouts and things that you guys get to take away with you and take home. So, you know, I'm fine with that. And the date that we're going to be starting, and just the way the dates line up, is really cool now, because we're going to start on the 11th of January 2020, which is 01/11/20. So it's just like really good numbers. I love that. Because the first weekend in January is the 4th, and that's my birthday, so I'm not starting on that. probably might not even be at work on that day, but we'll see. I'm going to be the big 3-0, entering my third decade, as Melissa says, which made me feel, I think that's the first time I've ever had that feeling of like, oh, I'm old. And like then, you know, when you get that thing, it's like, you know what is old and all that, and then you start unpacking that, etc. But anyway, yeah. Third decade just makes me feel like, yeah, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an adult. I'm firmly in adult territory. but you know what? I'm looking forward to being 30. I feel like I'm 30 already. I feel like I'm 30, you know, and it's like, that's okay. I'm cool with that. So yeah, that's going to be on that weekend. But the 11th is when we're going to start. So it's going to be a 6-week class. So what we've got going on right now is, if you book your place in either November or December, and you book all 6 classes, you'll get it for $122. So that's a little bit of a discount on the price of doing, what do they call it, like a la carte, just booking one class. So in January, if there's any spots left, we will be doing it as you can book just one class, and that'll be $22 per class. But that's not available until January, because we're really, really, I think this is going to be best if you do all six classes, because that's how I'm going to plan it out. But obviously, you know, if come January we haven't filled all the spots yet, then we will be doing that. You can come to, you can buy a ticket for whichever class you want to do. It's Intuitive Tarot, that's the name of the class, with a Rider-Waite-Smith basis. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the whole deck, and you can, all you'll need is a notebook, a pen. You don't even have to bring that because we have pencils, but please bring a notebook because we won't have the paper. And a Rider-Waite-Smith base deck, so you can use the, you know, traditional decks, or you can use whatever you want. I want you to bring a deck that you like and resonate with. It can be one that you already have experience with, one that you're new to, you know, whatever. Just needs to be Rider-Waite-Smith based, because we're going to go from the Rider-Waite-Smith tradition. So in tarot, there's a couple of traditions, but I am familiar with Rider-Waite-Smith. It's what I've always read with. That's what I'm teaching from. I can't teach you Thoth. I can't teach you Marseille, because I haven't learned with those traditions. See, Marseille is closer to Rider-Waite-Smith, but you're looking more at, like, numerology on the pips, because they are typically pip decks. And that's not my strong suit. I do best with decks that are fully illustrated pips. Thoth is completely different. So I can't teach you Thoth because I don't really know it, to be honest. So it has to be Rider-Waite-Smith based, but apart from that, can be whatever you want. I'm going to be teaching with probably my standard deck, which is the Radiant Rider-Waite. But I'm also going to bring in a variety of decks, all of which we have at the shop, for you to look at and to get to see, like, different interpretations of the same card. Because I think that's going to help us to, like, really get the feeling of how different they can be and yet have the same kind of themes running through them. So we're going to look at, like, an introduction we're going to do. We're going to talk about how to, you know, take care of your decks, buying your deck, like how to store them, how to connect with them, how to befriend them, all that kind of thing. A little bit of myth busting. and then we're going to look in each class, we're going to do the Major Arcana and look at the Fool's Journey. Then we're going to do the Miners. We're going to split the Miners up into two classes. So first we're going to do Swords and Wands, and then we're going to do Cups and Pentacles in the next class. And then we're going to look at spreads and things like that and keep going, etc. And we're also going to look a little bit at, in one of the later classes, or possibly the last class, we're going to look at combining tarot and oracle decks together, or combining different divination tools together and how to do that. And basically the idea of this class is to help you get an intuitive handle on the deck and feel comfortable and confident in your intuitive understanding of it. We're going to, you know, look at, I'm going to use some books and things as references, and I'm not one of those people that's like, don't look at the book at all. But I do think that there can be something in tarot of being kind of scared to not read by the book. And so I want to encourage you to not need the book, you know, or basically to make your own book. That's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to make sheets, so cheat sheets, I guess you could say, or quick reference sheets. All of the cards basically, and we're going to look at them in terms of, like, what do you notice, what symbols do you notice, and what does that mean to you, so that you can give a reading and I can give a reading. And, you know, we'll both, here's the thing, you can read intuitively and you might not know the book meaning at all, but your reading will still make sense. I've had this happen multiple times. I gave one of my old decks to a friend, actually, who, to my understanding, has never read a tarot book, not even the little white book, but is really good at giving readings. I want to encourage people to be confident and feel confident in themselves in giving a reading that doesn't have to go by the book. Because I think when we get our intuition involved with reading, that's when we really get, like, the deep readings and the deep meaning from it, you know? Like, to me, reading it purely by the book is kind of boring, and it might make sense, but it gets kind of deeper when you can go beyond that, you know. So that's the class starting in January, but you can book tickets, you can buy tickets now and December. There's only going to be 9 places. I wanted to keep it to a small class that we could, you know, all work together, and it's just a nice size. So there's 9 places. So please do go ahead and book those. You can book it at the Four of Wands. I don't know if you can book it on the website yet. I'll find out from Melissa tomorrow and then let you know next week if you can book it on the website. I assume you probably can, but let me check. So let me real quick look at tea real quick. Okay. Charles always jokes that when I drink tea, I don't just take a sip, I drink like half of the entire cup. I don't know if that's just me or like other people. I feel like that's an English thing. I don't know, I feel like that's what my family does as well. So at least my family thing. But anyway, I'm kind of stuffy today. I took some antihistamines, but I think I'm allergic to ragweed or something. But not chamomile, which is interesting. So maybe it's not ragweed. There's something. Anyway, this beautiful autumn. one more thing. No, 2 more things. As always, you can book readings through Etsy. You can also buy my decks on Etsy. And so that is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. Or you can contact me on Instagram or Facebook to book a reading. Or, you know, to book spirit guide portrait or whatever it is that you want to do. And then the other thing is, real quick, I would really, really appreciate it if you would go and leave a 5-star review on iTunes for this podcast. So I don't know if you can do this on any other platform, but you can do it on iTunes. And the more ratings that a podcast gets, the more it will be discoverable by other people. So the more other people will get to see it and the more it will be recommended. So it really does help if you do that. And to leave 5 stars, you don't have to leave a written review. Of course, I would love a written review. It's always nice to see, you know, how people are responding and things, but you really don't have to do that. Just the 5 stars really help. So I'm really grateful to the people that have already done that. And yes, I will continue to ask you to do that every week because it's really helpful. And please, you know, share this podcast if you know someone who would enjoy it. I've been getting really wonderful feedback and lots of love from people, and just really, really appreciate that. So yes, thank you. Please do share. It really helps. All right. So with all that said, let's get into it. Wow. Almost 20 minutes of just nattering. Okay. So spirit, what is spirit like? And I'm going to just grab how I see it, because people see things in different ways and have things communicated to them in different ways. So I'm just going to tell you like my understanding and how I see it. And some of the things that like spirit communicates to me, or when they show me things, what they show me. So first of all, I want to describe what spirit looks like to me. So this is as someone who is alive and is going there to communicate directly with like one person, or you know, one guide, or like a maximum probably a group of guides. Like, I'm not communicating with everyone at large. So usually when I see someone, either they come to me, so a guide will usually come to me and show me specific images and things, or I go to them, which is more common in like a mediumship setting, and it's almost like their own personal heaven. I guess you could say that, like their own little bubble, and they have their own world within that. My understanding of how spirit is, so I do know what spirit looks like from the perspective of being in spirit, and that's partly because I can remember it, and partly from reading things and being like, yeah, I remember that. So like things like the Akashic Records and the big libraries and the soul groups and studying and all of that kind of thing, and the like beauty of it, and and all of that. It's like, I know that, but that's not really what I see a lot of the time, just because that to me is when you're in spirit, that's what, where you go, and that's what you see. And if we're alive, we're obviously not dead. So or are we? No, let's not go there. So we're not experiencing spirit in terms of how people experience it, or how we would experience it when we're fully crossed over and, you know, we've returned fully to spirit. So for me, there's a couple places too that I tend to see the most, and this is just because of the type of work that I do. So the most common places that I see in spirit are, one, where people go when they first cross over. I've seen this from spirits telling me this is where they went, so this is what it looked like, or doing crossing over work, which I don't do very often, but I've worked with my Nana a couple of times, so I've seen it kind of, not in person, it's really hard to describe, but more from that perspective too. So the most common thing that people tell me of when they cross over is actually like a big field full of flowers. So, and I think this is because a lot of the spirits that I've had contact with have taken a little bit of, is that right? Some of the spirits have taken a little bit of time to get accustomed or acclimatized to spirit, so they go somewhere that's quiet and they can rest. But the most common thing I see is like a big field full of flowers, and it's like a beautiful summer spring day, and it's like the perfect temperature, and there's a breeze, and it's like that idyllic. It kind of looks to me like, if you've ever seen Howl's Moving Castle, when they go to Howl's garden, that's kind of what it looks like. And people go through there as they return to spirit, and I usually see some kind of, I guess you could call it a gate, but it doesn't really look like a gate, kind of hard to describe it, but this is like where spirits go to meet the spirit that is coming over. So that is true in my experience, that when we cross over, we have our family comes to us, and our pets, and our, you know, our guides, and our spirit friends that we might not have had an incarnation with, but, you know, everyone comes to greet you and welcome you back. And then you go and you do life review, or you go and heal first if you need that. If you've had a particularly traumatic lifetime, you go and heal. And that's usually the way I usually see this, is kind of like a hospital, but with no, you know, people have kind of issues with how hospitals feel. It doesn't feel like an earth hospital. It's just very quiet, and it has spirits that are there. Basically, they're kind of like a nurse, like they're healing, and they're taking care of the people that are there that need to be on their own for a little bit, just to get back together. It's almost like a, it's very much the cocoon, where we're healing and kind of just, yeah, healing is the best word for it, from that lifetime. If we've had a particularly difficult lifetime and it's been hard on us, we might do that before we reintegrate with everyone else. And then we go, we do our life review, and then there's other things, but like I said, I don't usually see this a lot of the time. Like, it's not really where guides communicate from. It is where spirits communicate from, because they are crossed over. But yeah, I actually wrote an ebook about this. You can get it in my Etsy shop. It's $5. And of course, it's called What Happens When We Die, or What Happens When You Die. Can't remember the exact. Well, that's great. But it actually talks about the process of passing and what happens and where we go and what's over there. So if you're interested in all of that, go read the ebook. yeah, it's $5. So anyway, so if we're alive and say it's guides communicating with us, what does that like? So for me, what I tend to see is one of two things. Either the guide will be in a sort of nebulous space, which is like spirit at large, but doesn't, it's not super defined, and that's That sounds creepy, but it's not creepy. It's just that they are basically like manifesting an image for me and manifesting like a what they look like. And so they kind of do that by like pulling energy together, and they'll send me a picture. Or if it's another thing a guide does is they show me like a scene that they're in, basically, and this will explain either like what they did while they were alive, that they used to kind of define themselves in a sense, and maybe how they relate to us too. So I'm thinking of one guide in particular who is the guide of one of my lovely regular clients. This guide shows themselves as basically like a farmer, and a very kind of stereotypical farmer, standing on like a pitchfork in his garden, and having this garden all around him, and it kind of like spans out and then kind of goes like faded, like I don't really see the outsides of it, but that's just like that's who he is. And that also, you know, that image just gives us an idea of like what might he sound like, what might he be like, what even might he, you know, what would he feel like physically. So that's the thing, guides will usually give us something, they'll give us information that helps us like place them and be able to know them from a human perspective of like what do they look like, what do they feel like, what's their feel. The other thing that I'll see is that a guide will show me where they are in relation to the person that I'm reading for. And this will usually be, they'll either stand on one particular side of that person, and so that person will hear them from like the left side or the right side, and that's where they stand, or they'll stand behind them. I don't think I've ever met a guy who stands in front of someone, because it's like that's your energy moving forward. They're not going to obstruct that. Even guides that are protective guides will tend to stand behind you. And that's kind of almost like, if you can imagine, like a big, like tough looking, strong person standing behind you, and then you're in front of them, you know, it's like, basically, people can see them from behind you, and know they're there, so I'm not going to mess with you, because you've got this big strong person behind you, you know. That's basically the idea of a protector guide, is usually like that. Protector guides will also tend to stand in doorways, so either they will show themselves standing in a doorway, and I call this like a spiritual doorway, it's like the spiritual back door that you might not have your eye on, you know, so they're stood there making sure like who's coming in and out, what's going on back here, or they'll literally stand in a doorway when you see them or when you communicate with them, or that will be where they kind of like just hang out. So this, that I have a couple guides who are like this. My gatekeeper is like this, very traditional, stands near the gate, stands near the door, sits near the door, just is near the door. My granddad also tends to do this, and I've always seen him, so he always stands in my doorway. Again, not creepy, it sounds creepy, but it's not. And then the third one is, and I can feel him, I know he's like listening to me, Pete, who is in our house, is actually Pips. Have I explained this before? Chelsea's other nickname is Pip, so if I say Pip, it's Chelsea. We're actually trying to switch into Pip more because she prefers Pip, so I'm going to try and stick with Pip. Pip's granddad. And he's a little bit different. He's not really a guide, he's more specifically a protector, but he also stands by our bedroom door or in the hallway outside our bedroom, and that's just his place in the house. He just likes to be there. So yeah, quite often they'll stand in a doorway. What else can I tell you about what I see? The thing with, so if I'm doing more mediumship, say, and I don't do this very often, but say I'm doing mediumship and I'm communicating with someone specifically, a specific spirit, they'll show me themselves in a setting that's important to them. So either it's a real place that they might have been where they lived before, or somewhere they've been. Usually, if it's somewhere they've been, it's like somewhere they've been with the person that they're talking to, or somewhere that the person they're talking to would recognize. If they're crossed over, they're not especially tied to one specific place on Earth anymore, I don't think. Or it'll be like their idea of heaven, basically. So they're showing you, I'm happy, I'm where you know I would want to be. So the one I'm thinking of here is another regular client of mine. He has a friend who passed over who is his best friend, and he shows himself in this big garden with a woodworking like shop basically in his garden, and he's making things in his garden, and then he has a house there too, and he sometimes goes in there and he'll describe what's going on around him, and it's very idyllic, but it's like a personal space. Rather than what I found with spirit, which is like there's communal spaces basically. So, to my understanding, in spirit, we have communal spaces, which is like, say, where the Akashic Records are. So, where you can go and look at your books and look at your journey and your story and figure things out, and where you can study with other souls too, and things like that. My new deck that's coming out, actually, the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle, there's a card in that which is called, oh, I've just completely forgotten what the card's called. I'm just great, just great. I think it's Soul Family, and it's of two people embracing, and they're in this like golden hall. That's the Akashic Records to me. It's like a big library, and it's gold, gold and white. Anyway, so that's what where that set that card. So, oh, you can probably hear my dogs playing outside. Anyway, so yeah, there's like these communal spaces, and then we also have personal spaces where we can go by ourselves. We can go with other people that we love, and yeah, just to have like a personal space as well that we create. And then we can also go to places on Earth that we wanted to go to. Interestingly enough, and I don't know why this is, but I don't see that very often. Like, I'll know if someone's been off, they call it, or at least my family calls it, off traveling. So quite often when we first pass over and we first die, that's what we do. Like, that's what my nana did when she first passed away, was that she went traveling, and that was all I knew about what she was doing. I didn't know where she was, exactly what she was doing. I just knew, oh, she's off traveling, she's off doing things and looking around, you know, because you can, you're like, suddenly I can just go wherever I want, pretty much. So there's that, but yeah, spirits just don't really ever tell me about that. I don't really know why. I guess it's not really relevant. That's like a personal thing to them, and I don't really need to know it, so they don't usually tell me. And okay, so I can who's telling me that? I can hear someone. I think it's Bianca. She's saying, it's partly it's because it can't be explained. It has to be something that you do yourself, because you can't explain it. Like, you can't, I mean, that makes sense to me. You can't, it's like hearing a story and then going and doing it yourself, right? It's not the same. It can't really be explained. So it's more left to when you die that you get to do that yourself and experience it yourself. Another glug of tea. I think I burned my tongue earlier. Okay, so last thing I'm going to talk about in this section before we move on and go to the app break, and then I'll come back and talk about things a little bit different, is what does it feel like to see things, or how do I see things? Like, what is it like? So this is clairvoyance. So there's different, people call them the clairs. There's different senses, basically, different psychic senses, and we all have different strengths, and I don't even want to say weaknesses. There just tends to be, in my experience, we'll have a couple that are stronger for us, and so we'll get messages through those. So my most common one, my most, my strongest ones are clairvoyance, which is seeing, clairaudience, which is hearing, and claircognizance, which is knowing. Yeah, the first two kind of self-explanatory, clear cognizance, clear knowing. I call this downloads. It's like if you imagine just downloading something into your head, like you suddenly just know something. That's what clear cognizance feels like to me. But it's not the one I use most often. Like clairvoyance and clairaudience are what I use most often, and where I get the most information through. So clairvoyance, what is that like? To me, this is like if you close your eyes and you think about like your favorite film, right? You can probably see it like playing out in your head in a way, or you can like see how it moves, or you can imagine like a certain scene and you can see everything about it, right? That's what clairvoyance is like. So you're not actually obviously using your earth eyes to see anything because you've got your eyes closed. But you're seeing something. People sometimes describe this as like being projected on a screen, like it's a screen in front of your eyes or your third eye or something like that. And it kind of, so when I first read that, I was like, that doesn't really make sense to me. But when I think about it, it kind of makes sense, but it's not, that's not really how I would describe it, I guess. Like, to me, it's more just like, yeah, just like watching a film, basically. I mean, I guess that makes sense. like I'm being shown images in the same way as they might come up on a screen and I would see them. And when I see things, usually what I'll see is not a full scene. So guides and spirits will usually give me like flashes of images. So they'll be like, show me this image, and then this. So this is what's important. Or this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is the image I'm trying to give you. Sometimes they'll play through something. So like almost like they're telling a story and I'm seeing it in an image rather than a voice. And so it can be like that. So like a short film, or not even a film really, because it's usually like a minute or maybe 2 minutes max of them showing me specific things. If they're trying to explain a concept to me, it's a little bit different because I tend to see myself as stood with them in spirit. If they're trying to show me something that makes more sense in spirit than it does on earth, then I'll see myself as like standing with them. It's like they've made a little space and I go and stand in it with them and they like show it to me. And that's a little bit different. I'm going to talk about that afterwards. But that's basically what clairvoyance is like, seeing like a little inner movie. And for me, it's usually seeing flashes of something. Clairaudience is clear hearing. And this I would describe as like, again, you know when you know a song, or especially think of a song that you get stuck in your head. You can't actually hear it, obviously, but it's like you're hearing it in your head, right? That's what clairaudience is like to me. So people see things in different ways. So just like with clairvoyance, some people will see things literally right in front of them, like a person stood in front of them. I don't see that. When I have my eyes open, I tend to see energy. Like I can see kind of like there's a kind of like a fizziness or something in the room. Or I can just kind of see, yeah, it's hard to describe, but I don't see figures usually. The only time I'll ever see a fully, like, fledged figure is actually when they catch me by surprise. So if I, like, turn around and they're there, and usually that's not someone that's trying to communicate with me, it's just someone that's there. So, like, they're walking down the street and I'm walking down the street and I turn around and see them and then I turn around again and they're gone. Like, that's the only time I will really see something fully fledged. Things don't appear to me fully fledged like that because I don't like it and I don't want them to do that, and they respect that. So that's, yeah, they'll show themselves in the ways that I'm comfortable with, which is in my mind, and I'll invite them to come forward and ask them to come forward, and then they'll come. So they don't really just like show up in my head. So yeah, there's different types of clairvoyance, because some people will see something literally in front of them and they won't see it kind of more in their head. So there's all different kinds of ways to see things, but that's just how I see things. And clairaudience is the same way. I don't really ever hear people like they're talking around me, because again, don't like that. The only time I've ever had that happen was sometimes I'll hear people say hello to me. So like if I come into the house and I hear someone literally like they just said hello, I'll hear that. I don't know why that is. It's just funny. It's like they're greeting me because I came into the house, right? Or I've had it with earthbound spirits, and some of those experiences, I'll hear things from them. But generally, I don't deal with that anymore. Certainly not in my house. So I don't hear things like that anymore. I more hear it in my head. And I usually hear it in terms of like I don't really hear. So hang on 1 second. Sorry about that. I had to go and get my inhaler and take that. So yeah, anyway, to get back into it, what was I saying? Oh yeah, hearing. Clairaudience. So I don't usually hear it as like someone talking to me, and here's where I get crossed over with claircognizance, which is can be a little bit confusing. I'll usually, when I hear things, I don't usually hear it as like a conversation. I hear more like sounds. So, laughter is one that I hear a lot. So guides will laugh a lot. In my experience, guides tend to laugh a lot. Or at least mine do. Well, a lot of people's guides laugh a lot. Or I'll hear like sounds of nature, so running water, the wind, even some things that don't actually have a sound. It's like I'll get a sound for that in my inner ear. Like a sound of a feeling, if that makes sense. Like, oh, this feels really sweet, this feels really calm and lovely, it feels really warm. So that it sounds like, I think it's like they give me a sound that I associate with those things. So like for me, the sound of wind chimes is such a soothing sound, that it immediately like gives me the image, the full image of what they're showing me. I'll get that with a sound. Whereas with speaking, if I hear, then so I describe it as hearing, like, oh, I can hear them doing this, I can hear them telling me them there. Come on, tongue, work with my mouth, please. I'm a brain. I can, if I say I can hear them telling me their name, it's usually more like I just know their name, like they just dropped it into my head. They told me, but it's not really with speech, so I don't really hear talking very much. Or like, just like they're talking to me and say the way that you and I would talk to each other. And the reason for this, I find, is that spirit doesn't really need to do that anymore. They can speak to us without words. And this is something that I hear from spirit a lot and find with spirit, is some there's a lot of things that can't really be explained in words, which is so fun for me trying to explain it in a reading. But it's so much easier for them to give me like an image and a feeling and a sound of like, oh, it's like the rustling leaves, it's like the, this sound, and what does that conjure? And like, it's so much easier to communicate that, because spirit communicates with feeling, they communicate with emotion, not necessarily with words. There's a lot of things and feelings, I'm sure you can understand this, that you can't put into words, but you know it, you know how it feels. Like, you feel it in your heart and you understand it in your heart, but you can't put it into words. So there's a lot of that with spirit. So if you've ever had a reading with me and you're watching me just like, how do I say that? It's just because I'm trying to find a way to express that feeling in words that the guide didn't even say, because they couldn't. It's interesting. The life of a medium. But anyway, so that's how I hear. When it's funny, because when I hear, I usually see as well. Like, they're very connected to each other for me. It's like I'm seeing and hearing in a whole thing rather than just see or just hear. Sometimes I'll get just one or the other, but it doesn't happen very often. So that's the first part. We're gonna get to the ad break now. And then when I come back, I'm gonna talk about a couple of things that like spirit and working with spirit every day has helped me to understand, and has helped me in having greater love for humans, for people, for myself and other people and beings. So yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. we're back. So then, talking about how spirits express themselves to me and how guides express themselves and things that they've taught me and that I've learned from them and why that's been a really good thing. And hopefully will be a really good thing for you too. So the first thing is something you might hear if you've had a guide reading from me, whether it's in person or through Etsy, is you might have heard me talk about something being a human way to look at something or a human way to think about something. And this is a really common thing that guides will say, and it tends to deal with human perceptions and thoughts about something that aren't really true to how spirit is, and that we lose usually when we go back to spirit because we have a greater, like a more objective view of something. So there's this thing of people saying, and I think it's important to say this, that some people kind of think that as soon as someone dies, they become like all wise, all knowing, you know, all that stuff. And that's not really true. Like, everyone's on their journey at different points. And so when we die, we're still the same. It's just, you know, we do have a greater perspective. I don't think it matters where you are on your journey. You could have had one lifetime. When you go back to spirit, because of the nature of spirit and how it's, there's no... So here's the thing, there's no alienation in spirit. There's no, this person is better than this person, and so they're separated from them, and you have to be separate from them. This person's worse than this person, so they're kept over there in the special place for bad people. Like, that's not how spirit is, in my understanding. And this really rubs people the wrong way sometimes, because we tend to, this is an example of it, this is a very human way to think. Humans really want there to be some like merit-based thing of like, I'm a good person, so I get this, and you're a bad person, so you get this, and I get more than you because I'm good and I'm better than you, right? But the problem with that is we also get taught that, well, you're good at this level, you're like, you're a 5 on the good scale, and that person over there, they're a 0, and they're a bad person. But that person over there is a 10, so they're better than you and the person over there. And so it's really weird to me, like, it's very human, it's a very human thing. Like, I can hear guides right now saying this, that's a really human way to think about things. It's like, humans often get into this thought of, I want to be better than this person, but just in light of the idea of that existing, that I'm better than that person, we also then just instantly have the fear of like, this person is better than me. And so it's a fear thing, it's a fear-based thing, and this is what spirit explains to me a lot. And you'll find this in things like A Course in Miracles, they also talk about this. There's two things, you've got fear and you've got love, and everything is one of those, it fits into one of those. It's either fear or it's love. And you can quibble about where it is on the scale, but it's one of those things, ultimately. It's either fear or love. There's nothing in between. Because if you take anything, right? Happiness. You know, the feeling of being truly happy. That's love. Anger. That's fear. What else? The feeling of going outside and appreciating nature is beautiful. That's love. The feeling of what else is like fear? Of well, I better do good or this thing will happen. That's fear. Conditional love is also fear. So it can get like kind of twisty and turny. Because if you think about it, like conditional love, I just describe as, and this is a very human thing as well, conditional love. Of, I love you if you do this. So I love you if you do this thing for me, or I love you if you're this way. Not I love you unconditionally. Not I love you no matter what. I love you if this thing. And this is another thing that pushes buttons a lot, because people don't tend to want to think that they think like this, but it's a very human way to think. So it's very human to say, well, you know, I love you And this sometimes comes out in a slightly more, like, sneaky kind of way, I guess. Not sneaky in terms of you're loving in a sneaky way, but just that it kind of comes out in a way that you don't notice it. But it's like, I love you because you're this. And then it's like, it's because you're something that I like. You're something that, like, vibes well with me. You know, you're good at conversation and I like that, therefore I love you, I love that, you know. And I think people will sometimes be kind of mad about this because they're like, well, that's something I love about you, and that's fine, but it usually comes along with, I love you because this and because you don't do this, you know. But what happens if that person turns around and, like, what would you do if that person who, you know, you have a great conversation with every day, well, what if they suddenly couldn't speak anymore? What if they couldn't communicate to you anymore? Would you still love them? You know? So is that conditional love or unconditional love? And that's where it starts getting into. And, you know, then you get the defensive thing of course I would still love them, blah, blah, blah. But that's a question for in yourself. And I'm not saying that to make you feel mad or upset or attacked or any of that. All of that stuff is an ego thing. But, you know, that's just a thing. Humans tend to have very conditional love. And so, where was I even going with this? that's something that I've... Yeah, okay, so I was talking about the human ways of seeing and doing things and thinking about things. And the thing is that this has really helped me because, for one, I'm human, right? Like, if we're here and we're a person, we're human. So we all have these human ways of thinking about things and perceptions of things because we are human and we're living in the world as it is right now, and it's shaped by all these different things. And you have society and you have, like, the pressures of society and what's there's, it's funny because it's a lot of illusion kind of built up on each other, but it's a systemic illusion rather than necessarily just a personal one. And I think this is partly why it's important that we are challenging and that people do challenge systemic values and, like, this is what's good and this is what isn't, because just because it's a systemic value doesn't mean that it's right or doesn't mean that it's true. You know, systemic values also tend to be where things like white supremacy and racism and misogyny and classism and all of that, that's where they come from. Whoa. Okay. So it's just because it's a systemic thing that you might not personally have decided just to yourself doesn't mean that it's right, right? And that's what I'm saying. It's based on illusion, and a built-up illusion, which I think there's this thing in society, and this also goes along with that we're taught not to question society. We're not taught to, you know, dismantle those things because they give power to certain people and all of that. So it's this thing of don't question that, don't look at it, it's not a thing, push it under the rug. Nope, we're not looking at that, that's not real. But it's all built on a lot of illusion and things that aren't true and aren't real. But because there's so much of it around, we form these human thoughts and these human ideas about things that we don't have when we're in spirit, because we get to see things from different in a different way. For one thing, like I said, there's no alienation in spirit of this person is the most good and this person is the most bad, and therefore they can't interact with each other. And like I was saying before, that really rubs people the wrong way, because it's a very human thing to be like, well, you need to go to the bad place and you need to go to the good place and all of that, and judgment, right? But in my experience, that's not how it is in spirit. So essentially, we are all a soul. We're all souls. So when we die, we go back to the place where all souls go to, which is spirit. And we keep going. We keep learning. And that's everyone. There's no, like, you get to go to this most good place and you go to this most bad place. Now, that's not to say that there isn't something that's similar to hell, but in my experience, that's very much a self-enforced thing of, I deserve to go to hell, so you go somewhere that you think is hell until you realize that you don't have to be there, until you can forgive yourself enough to let yourself reintegrate with everyone and be healed and keep growing. So hell is it is something that exists in a way, but we don't get sent there. We send ourselves there, you know. In the same sense, there isn't really heaven in terms of like the three separate things of, is it like Abrahamic religions of, you've got purgatory where you're basically stuck, which I've never really understood. Hell, if you're bad, you go here. Heaven, if you're good to whatever this weird standard, then you get to go here. It's not really like that. On the other hand, you could say that all spirit is heaven, because everyone that goes there, which is everyone, even souls that go to the place that we would liken to hell, will eventually go to heaven, because they'll eventually realize that they can go there. Again, like I said, it's a self-imposed thing. It's not someone standing there saying you have to go here because you're a bad person. Like I said, that really rubs people the wrong way, because there's people that people go, there's no way, how can they go, how do they get to go to, you know, not go to hell, not be punished and things. And it's like, because eternal punishment, there's no chance to grow from that. And essentially, we all need to grow. We're all growing back towards the love and the oneness of spirit. And that's what we get in spirit, is that we understand that we're one with, we're just different, like, parts of one thing. Right, and this is getting kind of like into weird territory here. And of course, as always, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. That's completely fine. But yeah, we're all growing, and we all need to grow. Like, that's the soul's ultimate purpose. So if we did something, we came and we had a life, and we really, really, really screwed it up, and we were the most terrible person, well, then we still need to learn from that. We still need to grow from that. We still need to do something about that so that we don't keep repeating that and then never learn or grow. Like, I don't understand that concept of that, oh, we should just, that person should just suffer forever, right? It just doesn't make sense to me at all. And it doesn't make sense from a spirit perspective. And if you want to bring God into it, it doesn't really make sense to me from a God perspective. And why would God want that for a soul? Like, I mean, we're getting to something that is a little bit too much for this episode, I think. But, like, it doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, back to the original point, that spirit will tend to sometimes say, that's a really human way to think about something, that's a really human way to look at something. And they usually mean it as, like, this built-up thing that we've got from society, where we'll tend to have that thing of pitting ourselves against other people, having that, this is how good or bad you are scale, and kind of go, and very ego-driven as well. So when I say ego, again, that's something that rubs people the wrong way, because people don't like the idea of having an ego because of what we think the ego is. So everyone has an ego because we're human. An ego is a human thing that is like, we use it in a way to be a human and be alive and to interact with things. So ego is like our sense of, in a human sense, it's a sense of self. And the way that, like, spirit describes this to me is because we can't really be human a lot of the time with the full understanding of spirit. I don't fully understand this even. It's like, why not? Like, why can't we all just come here and have that full understanding, and then we wouldn't have this issue? But and I don't understand why not fully, but there's something about, it's something to do with, like, growth and growing and having the chance to grow. It's like we forget those things that and because spirit and earth, just from a manifest point of view, is so different, it would just be so difficult for us to, like, interface both parts. It's like they're saying, imagine, like, being where you are in your journey now and knowing what you know about everything that you've already experienced now. Now imagine trying to go back to the beginning and live it all without living it based on what you already know, right? So it's like trying to watch a film that you've already seen to the end and already understand and trying to experience it exactly the same way as if you had never seen it. It's just, you can't really do it. So that's why we forget a lot of things. And people, you know, remember and forget to different degrees, but I don't think we ever fully remember or know things in the same way when we're human as we do when we're in spirit, which is kind of like a mind twisty kind of thing, because it's like there's some things that my soul knows that I in my brain in this body don't know, and it's just very confusing. And that's why we don't remember it, because it's confusing, you know, and it doesn't help. Like, ultimately they're saying it's that doesn't help us to grow, and it doesn't really give us the impetus and the drive to grow. We kind of need to have that blank slate in order to have the drive to fill it, in order to have the drive to create the masterpiece. If we already had seen the masterpiece, we wouldn't start with the first stroke, you know. It's like we need that blank slate in order to be able to have the human experience to fill it. So yeah, it's kind of a bit nebulous there, but that's something too with the ego. It's just that thing of like, that's how our spirit expresses when it's in a human body. It's like the human version of ourselves, and then our soul, you know, comes into that and forms, like, kind of is like works with the ego in a way. And then when we go back to spirit, we're pure spirit, so then we know everything that we already know, and we remember everything, which again is why we don't see things in the same way, because we remember all the lives we've had, for one thing. And it's like, well, I can't really feel this way about something through maybe, you know, ignorance, not knowing, if I've had that experience and I do know, you know. Again, it's like I can't really be ignorant of the film if I've already seen it and I've lived it, you know, that was my life, I remember it. So that's something with spirit too, is that that's a very human thing as well. And then, okay, what else did I want to say about spirit? Okay, so here's how spirit and working with spirit has really helped me. And it's helped me with a lot of ego things that were negative, or that, you know, were not really helpful. They were constricting. They were based in that fear. It's because spirit and our guides and God and whatever you want to think of it, your guardian angel, whatever, do not think of us and feel about us the same way that humans do. And it's because they're not human. They're in spirit. They might have been a human, and that's why when I do guide readings, I'll say this was they're a human guide in the sense that they've had human lifetimes, you know, or they're an animal guide or whatever. But they do not think about us and feel about us the same way that we think and feel about ourselves and then other people. And we think and feel about other people because of how we think and feel about ourselves, I think, essentially. So spirit is love. Spirit is like pure love. And it's really difficult to explain this in human terms, but it's not impossible. So this is something that I see tends to get kind of construed in an odd way in like human terms. It's like this idea that we can't know what pure love, like spirit, feels like. And I don't think that's true, because I think we do know that. That's what teaches us. It's like we do have moments of like the same pure love as spirit, and it's like coming from our soul. It's coming from the bit of us, the part of us, the us that remembers that and knows what that feels like. Even if we don't remember it in a concrete sense, we remember it in some way and we feel it. So I'm sure you've had moments in your life and times in your life and exchanges where you have felt like so much love that it's like overflowing. It's just, it's like your whole body is love, right? It's just like filled up with love. That's what spirit love is like. And that's how spirit loves. So spirit and our guides love us unconditionally, in that unconditional sense. And so that means it doesn't matter what we do, they love us. Again, that tends to push buttons, because it's going back to that human thing of, well, how can you love that person when they did this terrible thing? it's a, because they're gonna grow, they will learn and grow, and they're a human, like, spirit doesn't see, like, good and evil, you know, and so there's that unconditional love, and so they love us from that place, and so they're always trying to guide us. That's what guides are for. They're there to help us, and they're always trying to guide us in the best way for us, towards the best thing for us, to do the thing that is best for us, and therefore other people. You know, it's like we're separated by the illusion, not by the actual physical reality. There isn't actually a rule in the physical world to say that we are separated from each other. It's more the idea of it, you know. It's like that idea of you're an individual and therefore you're separate from everyone else and you're different from everyone else. That's a human illusion. It's not real. So they are helping us to help, and therefore helping everyone. If we're part of everyone, then that's kind of how it works. And so no matter how you think, so the way they describe it to me, and this is like Bianca describing it to me, guides will never view you the way you view yourself, because human ways of seeing ourselves is like entrenched in, I'm not good enough, I'm bad because this, I've messed this up, I made this mistake, I'm unforgivable because of this, I'm guilty because of this. That's all human stuff based on the idea of good and evil. Guides don't see that. You know, if we do something and it's from that love, it's from our soul, it's from our spirit, then we did something, and great, like, that's what we're working towards, is doing something that, like, fulfills our soul and other people's, to come back together, to be love. If we don't do that and we do something that we as a human think, that's a mistake, I messed up, I was, you know, bad, I hurt someone, etc., then it's not that guides don't understand that and that they don't care if we've been hurt. So say, like, you get hurt, it's not that your guide is saying, well, that's not real, it's an illusion, so I don't care. That's not true at all. But they're not going at it from a sense of, like, therefore that other person needs to be punished. This is getting into a weird space and I don't have the words to fully describe it, but it's viewed in a, it's, how do I even put it, it's just different. Like, when we make a mistake, it's okay, then next time you grow from it, or the consequences, you learn from it, you know. And that's why then you get into things like what we might describe as, like, well, this is pain. And I think things like karma and the idea of, like, contracts and things that we are living out, and we might think, well, I'm being punished for this thing in the past. That's not true, because it's not a punishment, it's consequence, and it's growing. So, you know, you did this thing and that meant that someone else couldn't fulfill their soul purpose, or it you know, it was not done in love, it was done in fear. Well, then you learn about that in some way, either in this lifetime or the next one, you learn about it, you experience something that teaches you the lesson of that thing. So it might not even be directly what you did is done to you, which I see this a lot, but that's not true. It's not necessarily that. It's like whatever that thing was that you did, that then when you look at it, both when you're alive and then in spirit, and go, whoa, that was really not what I should, you know, I wanted to do, that's not love, here's the kernel of that lesson, you'll learn that lesson. So, you know, if it's like, well, I hurt someone because I thought I needed the money, and so I took someone's money, and I, you know, then I saw what happened, because this is a life review thing where you see all of your actions play out. So you see what your actions did to someone else, or how it affected someone else, good and bad. It's not, there's not a bias, it's not, you're watching this because you're being punished or you're being rewarded, you're just seeing, you know, and experiencing. So then you learn, you take those things and go, I really want to learn how to grow out of that. I want to grow out of that hurting other people. I want to grow out of that putting myself above other people. I don't want to grow out of that like mindset of that I'm above you or this person's above me, etc. I want to grow out of that. And everyone is like growing all the time and continuing. So you come and then you learn, or you do something else, something happens and you learn that lesson from that, and then you learn it or you don't, and then you try again, you keep trying, you keep learning. So that's a spirit thing, is they view us as with this unconditional love of, we're a soul, so we chose to take on a body. You don't have to take on a body. That's a choice. So every one of us here chose to come here and be human and try and do this thing. And so they look at it as your soul, the same as me, your spirit, the same as me. You're trying to learn this, so I want to help you learn it, you know? And so there's all these different ways that we learn. But they love us no matter what it is, and they just want to help us to keep growing and keep learning. You know, that's what guides are for. They help us and support us, and they just keep going with us. Guides also don't desert us. Like, in my experience, it's not, you don't get a guide and they go, well, you did this thing and that was a complete, you know, cock up. So I'm off now, I'm gonna leave you. Like, no, that's not what happens. You know, they stick with you, and they just keep trying to help you and keep trying to help you to grow and learn. And that comes through that love. So then how does that help with people? Okay, so this has definitely helped me in how I respond to people and feel about things, and when I hear stories and what I think about. So, and as a reader, it definitely helps too. And this is why I've had the opportunity to get this insight, I think. So I feel really lucky, is that someone could come to me and say, this is what's happening. And then the next person comes to me and says, I'm in the same situation, but I'm from the other side. And then, you know, I could get another person come in and say, well, I'm having the same experience, but I'm coming at it from like the third person in the party or whatever. You kind of can't judge then, you know, like, that's a big thing about reading, is you have to, and you kind of naturally, I think, let go of judging, because it doesn't make sense to judge anymore. You get to see the humanity of everyone, you get to see the soul of everyone, because everyone that comes in for that reading is going to sit down across from you, and they need help, and they might be person A, person B, person C in that one scenario. And you've got to try and help them from their perspective. What's best for them, you know? And, you know, if they did something, you can say, hey, like, let's figure out why you did this thing, you know? But you don't judge it. So a good example, I think, of this would be reading for people who are in a relationship where there's some cheating going on. So person A comes in, they're the person who's being cheated on, and they found out, and they're obviously going through their feelings and all of that, and you're trying to help them figure out what's the best thing for them to do now. How do they handle it? Person B comes in, they're the person in the relationship, and they're the one who cheated. So then you find out, well, why did they cheat? And they'll tell you, you know, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's going on. You've got to help them, not from the perspective of, well, you did bad, so I'm telling you from the perspective of the person that you cheated on. No, you don't know that person. You're not that person. You can't speak for them. You have to come at it from a perspective of that person. And so helping them figure out, what do I do? What's the best thing to do? And that might include, okay, you need to let that person go and work on yourself, you know, or it might be work on the relationship together, figure this out together. And then you get third person comes in, they're the person that the person cheated on, and they tell you their story. So you read for them, what's the best thing for them, what are they going through, what's their experience. So you're kind of seeing things in a similar way to the way spirit sees things, because you have to put that judgment to the side. And when you see situations like this, and you see like every, I mean, not that I've seen every situation and every scenario of course, and I'm human. I still have an ego. I still struggle with human things. I'm not pure spirit, so I'm not saying that at all. But you see it more from that perspective. But yeah, you see so many like iterations of a situation from all different sides, and you stop judging it. You stop being like, well, you're the bad person in this question and you're the good person. Because they're all people. They're all coming to you as a person saying, I need help with this. And you help them because that's your job, right? And spirit comes to you and they help them because that's their guide. So person A, person B, and person C all have different guides. And all of those guides love them unconditionally, no matter which person they are in the scenario. Because again, it's not this is good and this is bad. And they help them, so they want to help them. Well, this is the best thing for you. And also, this is, you know, what you can do about the situation. If you are the person that is cheating, well, then let's look at why. You know, are you not monogamous? Like, is it that being monogamous is not right for you? That's a completely valid, that is valid. Some people, not monogamous, not happy being monogamous. But you have to then make strides and act on that with the integrity of not hurting someone else and not hurting yourself. Because here's the thing, if that's the reason you cheat, for example, you're not monogamous, well then you need to be in a relationship with someone who is probably not monogamous either, or, you know, okay with you not being monogamous. So, you know, if you're polyamorous, which is, you know, loving multiple people, then you need to be with someone who either is okay with that and they don't feel that maybe for other people, but they're okay with you feeling that way and having other people. Or you need to be with someone who also is that way and they're with other people, and that's fine. But you've got to be above board with it. You've got to explain it. So that's how we grow too. It's like, well, was cheating and hurting someone the best way to go about it? No. Well, then what could you do about it? You know, and that's usually what the guidance is how do you grow from this? What do you do next? But you're not coming at that from a judgmental perspective. You're not saying, you did bad, now fix it. That's not it. It's okay, here's what happened. You're unhappy with that scenario. You realize that you need help with that scenario. What should we do about it? What can you do about it? Here's the guidance. You know, it's not judgment. So, yeah. What was I saying? Working with spirit has really helped me with that. Just because I see things from different perspectives and I get to hear from their guides about like, what's best for that person. And I just get to see a lot more different scenarios. Doesn't mean that I have to be really careful sometimes to try and keep my own bias out of it. Because, like, if a friend comes to me and says, oh yeah, I was with someone and it turned out they were cheating on me and I'm really hurt, my human reaction to that is, oh my God, what a bastard, you know, excuse me. But, you know, I'll want to defend them, and I get that. I completely get that. But that's, for one, I try and control it, even if it's with a friend, and try and see it in different ways. But as a reader, you have to, like, nip that in the bud. You have to reel that back. Usually what I'll do in that scenario, if I'm having a really strong reaction to what someone's telling me, is I'll literally tell them, I'm really trying to reel in my own bias here, or my own opinion here, because I'm finding it really hard to hear this and not want to jump in and defend you and not want to protect you. And because it's my human, I'm human. So it's like tripping my humanness. But I'm really trying to get past that to be able to actually help you with this. Because here's the thing too, having that like strong reaction, like, oh, I'm going to go beat them up, you know? Yeah, that might be nice to hear for the person, but does it really help them deal with the situation? Not really. So you're actually going to do more good, especially as a reader, if you can like get past that reaction into, okay, let's deal with this. Take a deep breath. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about it. What's going on? How are you feeling? What should, you know, how do we handle this in a way that's productive, that we're going to grow? That's what growing, being productive, that's the same thing. Productive, not in a, you know, capitalist sense or whatever, but productive in we're moving forward, we're growing. How do we do that? So that's really helped me in working with spirit there. And I think also, I really want to close this up now with this, but also like having that understanding of spirit and like seeing things from different perspectives and knowing it's not just me on my own having to make decisions and things has really helped me to have more compassion and come more often from that place of love. Again, I don't get it perfect all the time. I make mistakes all the time too. I'm just human trying to learn. But I think I come at it more often from that like place of seeing more the wholeness instead of the separateness, or the love instead of the reaction of, oh, that's bad, you know. Yeah, so I think that being able to see that has helped me. And I think that's why when we're growing and we're having, you know, it's like we grow and then we experience things based on where we are, what we can experience. Can everyone come and be on Earth and be human and have that memory of spirit and like live in concurrence with that? No, I don't think everyone can do that because they're not ready yet. It's too, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's too confusing. It's too like hard to reconcile them. So some people don't have that and some people do. It doesn't mean, again, it's not a merit thing. It's not you're better because you have more, finger quotes, spiritual awareness than that person over there does, you know. And it's just that we're at different points, but we're all growing. So something that I would recommend to read to kind of help explain this a little bit if you want to is A Course in Miracles. Now, A Course in Miracles, let me say right here, is probably the most like mind-bending thing I've ever read, just because, for one, is that a thing? I don't know, but it doesn't hold back. Like, it says this is illusion, this is an etc, all that, but it deals with love and fear, and it comes at it from like the perspective of spirit and what spirit is like. So it's like the closest thing I think I've ever read so far to being able to explain what spirit is like and how things are seen and experienced from spirit and how that works with us being human and what we can work on to do that, you know. But that's what I would recommend. Yeah, so I think that's everything. And sorry for my I always seem to have a croaky voice when I do this, so apologies for my croaky voice. But I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'm sending you so much love. And yeah, bye for now.